Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, it's hump day, and I am Glenda Geek from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for October 26th, 2011, episode 258, sponsored today by Back on Track Products. Good morning, horse people.
Guess what? It's Wednesday.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, everybody.
We have a show on Wednesday.
It's true.
It's time to go out to the barn. Let him out and work my arm. It's kind of like a meditation. Sort of like yoga, my religion. I get in a trance-like state as I pitch and as I race. The smell of manure and sweet grass hay. What a beautiful way to start your day. I'm 5 foot, but I never feel as tall as when I'm cleaning stalls.
Well, absolutely good morning, and like you said, Glenn, happy hump day. How's it going over there?
Good. It's going good. Everything's good here at the studio in Lexington. We're expecting 2 days of rain, but I got to tell you what, I'm looking outside my window at the trees along the road here, and they're bright, bright orange now. So we're at the height of the leaves changing here in Lexington.
Well, if it's any consolation, my palm trees really need some trimming. They really need to be trimmed, and I might just have to call the little guy that gave me a business card the other day. I think his name was Jose, and he needs to come out here and trim my palm trees.
I didn't know you had to trim your palm trees.
Well, yes, because the palm fronds continue to grow, and then the bottom ones drop away dead, and so then you have all these dead palm fronds hanging down, so you have to keep them trimmed. See, you learn something new every day. I didn't know you had to trim palm trees.
I never had a palm tree in my yard, so it's not something that...
I have three. Well, I got to ask you guys a question. Our listeners and Jennifer can weigh in on this because I'm having a horse issue here at my house. There's anger amongst the troops. There's irritability happening right now, and I want to know if this is normal, or is it just abnormal and that's just my life? So I have had this one particular horse for 8-9 years. His name is Demir. He's my warm blood. I've had him for a very long time, I guess 9 years now. And he has always been my baby. Now, I've also got Jet the Thoroughbred, and I've got some other stuff, you know, a lot of other horses here, but he's still, you know, my absolute baby. However, I got a horse in training. So this nice lady brought me her horse to ride for 30 days. She needed a little bit of a tune-up. He's young, and he's a very cute quarter horse, a little bay quarter horse named Dusty. So Dusty is now on my property, and because he's an in-training horse, he gets ridden first, and he gets ridden every day, aside from Sundays. But he gets ridden every day, so he's getting a lot of attention. My warm blood wants to kill this horse. I mean, hates this animal more than a donkey hates a coyote. I mean, charges him wants to kill him. I put them out in the pasture, and he chased him for 45 minutes before I could catch the warm blood and bring him back in. I mean, hates this horse. And the thing is, they were stalled next to each other, and he was lunging through the bars when the horse was standing there sleeping. I mean, wants to kill this horse. Jennifer, do horses get jealous?
In my opinion, no.
I've never had a jealous horse before, and so I would have agreed with you had I not been spending so much time with the cute little young quarter horse, Dusty, as opposed to my horse that the warm-blood is usually, Demure is usually the one I spend all my mornings with, and I give him the most attention first, and now that has shifted, and I've never had my sweet gelding want to kill an animal like he wants to kill this horse.
I have had horses display that behavior in that there's one specific other animal in their environment that they really want to do significant harm to. I've had that. And now my really uncreative, boring, scientific way of looking at the world is switch it up. Just don't pay any attention to the new horse for 4 days and love all over your warm blood and then put them out in the field together again and see what happens. And make sure your insurance is paid.
Yeah, exactly. No, I can't do it. I can't even chance it again because this little 5-year-old quarter horse came to me unscathed. I mean, not a mark on his body. He is leaving my farm with scars and lacerations from the one day I turned him out. He's just got, like, bite marks on his butt and everything. And I feel so bad for him. And his owner's like, whatever, he's just being a horse, no problem. And she's totally sweet about it. But I feel terrible.
I'm weighing in on the side with Jennifer. I'm not sure about the jealousy thing, but, you know, we've had innumerable horses over the years that just could not get along. One horse just did not like another horse. It's just like people, I think, where, you know, there's just people that you can't stand to be around. I think it's the same way with horses. They just get these certain ones, and we know that's true in the wild because, you know, you've seen stories and videos of that. So I think it's just more fundamental than that. Is you just found the one that he doesn't like.
I don't understand. Usually in the wild, there's a reason that they don't like them. You know, if they're challenging for their ladies,
you don't know what that little bay quarter horse is saying after dark.
Yeah, that's right. You don't know. He's going up, and he's sticking his tongue out. He might be throwing rocks at him. He might be taking the gophers out of the holes and pitching them at this horse.
Yeah.
You don't know.
I guess that could be true. But why would he be doing that? Because the other horse is so jealous, and he's like, nah, 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 your mama loves me more than you. I mean, why are they doing this? So I just was curious. If anybody has this experience, please, 347-637-3238. I don't understand why my horse hates this horse. Hates him!
I don't know that you ever will either. I think it's part of the deal. You're never going to quite understand why. But boy, we've had it over the years that just two horses, that have lived on the farm for 5 years together just have never gotten along. Ever.
Isn't that crazy? I mean, this warm blood I already cannot put near the one mare. Thank God I have 3 paddocks, because now I have to put the warm blood out with a pony, and they sit in the very front of the pasture. Then the next pasture over has the mare, and then the one on the opposite side has the little quarter horse that he hates. He's like, I don't know what his problem is.
You're going to need that farm in New Jersey we talked about with the 29 paddocks.
Yeah. I'm going to have to board that horse somewhere else. My own horse. Because I don't have room for him. He's killing everybody. And it's not that it's a quarter horse, you know, because we have a quarter horse. We have a paint horse. We have a pony. He gets along great with all of those. He gets along great with the other thoroughbred. He tries to breed the mare, and he hates this new one. So.
No, I don't think it has anything to do with breed, actually, because I think it crosses that. But you know, because you've had horses get along with goats, for God's sake. You know, it's just a personality thing. I think it's just like us. You know, those people we can't stand to be around, and we just make sure we're not around them.
So he's not racist, so that's good.
Like Snooki. Like
he's
not
breedist.
To the core of my being, I hate Snooki. I've never even met Snooki. Snooki's never done anything bad to me.
But you would pin your ears and chase her out of that pasture.
Oh, my God, yes.
Well, thank you for making me feel better. I was just hoping I didn't own a racist / jealous. I didn't know what to do. So I would love to see that on Facebook if we could post that. Like, have you ever had a horse that's jealous? Why does it hate the one horse? And the horse is leaving this time next week. He'll have been here a month. So my problems should be at least minimally alleviated. Jennifer, what is on today's show? Please tell us.
On today's Back on Track Wednesday edition, we open the show with poop. Not surprising to our regular listeners, but for the newbies out there, poop is a frequent topic around here. And Greystone America will be here with the best thing to happen since horse poop, since the Future Fork. And then, following some radical rehashing of Glenn's Wednesday lists, which he always brings to the table on Wednesdays, thehorse.com is here, as usual, with plenty of healthy hints for horse keeping and most likely a few repulsive veterinary recounts of nasty equine episodes. So hang on for the wild ride.
Well, and, you know, this whole poop thing.
He was at the start this morning.
I know. I need a dictionary. But the poop thing is true. I mean, obviously, when you own a horse farm, poop is a hot topic. And steaming poop is a hotter topic. And it's just one of those things you have to manage. And so when I saw the video for this, it's a pasture vacuum from Greystone. We're going to talk to Nikki about it. I told Jennifer, I'm like, you have to get this person on because I need her to sell this to me. So that is my goal, is to decide whether to purchase this item today, or at least put it on the Christmas list and the birthday list and every list available for my husband because we have 3 acres and 6 horses. We clean up poop all the time. So this would be something I would use a lot, and they got to sell it to me. Sell it to me. I'm going to have my husband listen to this interview, so you're selling it to him too.
All right. Well, we'll look forward to your poop discussion a little bit later in the show, but first, you know our lives do revolve around poop. My daily Winnie goes out to Becky Savvy, who posted on her Facebook page. I don't remember that name. I think if she's posted before, I apologize, but I don't remember seeing you before, so welcome to the show. She says, I'm behind listening to shows, so I just finished the one for 1020. That's the one where we had the love doctor, Dr. Jen, on, talking about people who come to horses a little older. They're maybe in their 40s when they first start having horses and how that affects the marriage and the family. She says, having got my first horse 5 years ago after more than 20 years of marriage, the other half is adjusting well. Our daughter had two of them by then and worked at a riding stable, so he was not totally surprised. Of course, he has his motorcycle and snowmobile to keep him happy. The biggest discussion is who gets the truck for towing. Two of us with horses meant I needed a trailer, and we do parades in the winter in Minnesota. I'm working on convincing my coworkers to listen to your show at work. Well, thank you, Becky, and keep working on those coworkers. We would love, if you guys are listening to our show at any business out there, let us know. We'll give a shout-out to the business. We appreciate you listening to the show, and you know what? You're just one of the many that has come to horses late in life, and I'm glad to hear your husband is adjusting well. Your turn.
Well, my daily Winnie goes out to a man named Alan Grossbard, something like that, because he has created a new horse movie. I'm so excited. However, I'm not going to be able to see it because it is only opening in basically Kentucky. You guys
are
going to get to see it on October 28th. The movie is called And They're Off, and it is a mockumentary, like Spinal Tap and Modern Family, a mockumentary about the horse racing world. He's a guy that has been around horse racing his entire life and just decided that it's just too funny, that these people are ridiculous, and that he decided to do a mockumentary on the horse racing industry, and it opens October 28th in L.A., New York, Louisville, and Lexington.
Those
4 places that it opens up. So you'll have to go see it. And it actually stars some some celebrities, you know, like Sean Astin, who, of course, you know, Frodo, give me the ring from your favorite set of movies. he played the Hobbit, but he also played Rudy. I mean, come on. If you didn't cry and you're a dude in that movie, I don't know what you'll cry at. Sean Astin, Sherry O'Terry from Saturday Night Live. You remember the cheerleader sketches?
Yeah.
Okay, she's the little cheerleader. She is the jockey and his trainer's ex-girlfriend. Bob Baffert's in it. Also, Kevin Nealon from Saturday Night Live is in it. So I can imagine it's going to be very funny. It's either going to be very, very, very funny or very bad.
So it is a comedy. It's definitely a comedy.
Yeah, it's a mockumentary. So have you seen any of the mockumentaries, like about the dog shows or Spinal Tap or any of those?
Yep. Know what you're talking about. Yep.
Yeah.
Well, this will be fun. Airplane.
Yeah, it'll be great. An Airplane was more comedy. A mockumentary is like a documentary, but they're making fun of it.
Well, this should be fun. I'm looking forward to that. That's coming October 28th. We definitely can go see that.
Yeah, it should be good, and I can't believe it's opening up. I mean, you've got L.A., New York, Lexington.
Well, don't
really?
Don't worry, people. Don't worry. I predict this is going to video in about 10 days after it opens. So.
Oh, I think it's going to be awesome. I mean, if you think Spinal Tap and you think horse racing, sure, why not? Turn this thing up to 11. It goes all the way to 11. You probably haven't seen Spinal Tap, have you?
It's been a long, long time.
I like the mockumentaries. So anyway, that's my Daily Winnie. It's going to be a movie, and it's coming to your city, and it'll be on my video and my Netflix in like 5 minutes.
All right. Don't forget Really Bad Ads this week. We're giving away one of the coveted Horse Radio Network hats. We haven't given away one of those in a while, so get your Really Bad Ads in now to jennifer@horseradionetwork.com. with the subject line, Really Bad Ads. We need some ads for this week, so get them in. That's coming up Friday at 10 a.m. every week. And on Wednesdays, we usually like to take a break for a few minutes, a couple minutes anyway, from talking just about horses, and I come up with some wacky lists or studies or things to talk about. Well, it's Halloween. Now, Halloween actually is one of my least favorite holidays. It's not something I look forward to every year, but I don't
really
know why. I never was into Halloween all that much. But
Mr. King, actor guy, Knight of the Round Table or whatever you did, like, you don't like getting dressed up and eating candy? I don't even know who you are anymore.
I love getting dressed up and eating candy, just not at Halloween.
Okay.
So now, I have a couple, but it is Halloween, and out of respect to those people who do like Halloween, like apparently Jamie does, I have two lists here that I thought would be fun to do today. The first one, I'm going to have you and Jennifer guess. So the first one, and this comes from a top veterinary website. And did you know that there is, get this, $2.5 billion will be spent this year on Halloween costumes? $1 billion on children's costumes, $1.2 billion on adult costumes, and $310 million on pet costumes. So
seriously?
So what I have here is the top 10 pet costumes for 2011. So you have any guesses what the top costumes will be for your pets for 2011?
Pet costumes. Are these horse costumes, dog costumes?
No, these are mostly apparently dog costumes because they're the most popular.
People always dress their dogs up on Halloween as pumpkins.
Number one! Ding, 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 ding. Very good. That's the number one costume this year. Yes, pumpkins. That's correct.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah, that's number one.
Like bats or something? What?
Bats not on the list. Jennifer, any guesses here?
I'm going to try a hula dancer.
Nope. No. Good guess, but no hula dancers. I think you have to be a lot more basic than that with these. Okay, so I'll give you a hint on one of the top ones. They are often referred to as this kind of dog, and it is also their costume.
Hot dog.
There you go, number three.
First the weenie dogs.
Yep. That's number three. And how about, let's see, a lot of these are also top costumes for humans. What is the number one costume for the parents who could give a crap about their kids and who would send them out at Halloween because they had no creativity and didn't want to spend any time with their children? What's the number one
Ghost.
Costume there? There you
Ghost.
Go, number 10. Just throw the sheet over. And I can tell you there was a time or two that we had the sheets over our heads. I think
with
so.
The
eye
holes, the non-Halloween is a familial thing for you guys, huh?
Yes, that's right. So now here we'll go down through the list. Number 10 was ghost. Number 9 was dog. They actually dressed their dogs up as dogs, as a different kind
no,
of dog.
No, come on.
As a different breed.
Oh,
of
dog. Like a different
See?
Breed.
Yeah, yeah. Number 8 was pirate, also very popular for humans. Number 7 was bow ties or fancy collars, like bandanas, of course. Number 6 was witch. You know, you've seen a lot of little dogs with witch.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah.
Number 5 is cat, dressing their dogs up as a cat.
That's humiliating.
It's embarrassing. Number 4, and you've seen this one too, is a bee, dressing your dog up as a bee. Number 3 was hot dog. Number 2 was devil dog with the little devil
okay.
ears, the little devil costume. And then you got the number 1. It was a pumpkin. So
all right. Well, you've got to see what I just posted on our Facebook page as far as this is the best dog costume I've ever seen. By far the best dog costume. They actually must have taken a lot of time doing this.
Oh, Chewbacca?
They've got some sort of breed of dog, and they have, I don't know if they spray-painted him or dyed his hair, and his whole face is black, and the hair is brushed over, and he's got that little thing across his chest, and he looks just
like Chewbacca.
Like
it. He does. Like a
it's
little
awesome.
Miniature version.
So, I don't know where Star Wars characters fell on the list, but this one is awesome.
All right, let me get the other one I have here for you, and this is more food-related, of course, and that is the 5 best Halloween candies, and this was actually a study done by of children in school of what their favorite Halloween candies are. So I have the top 5 here. So first of all, Jamie, what was your favorite Halloween candy? You were going around, and you were just praying you got this one.
I have two. There's two that have a special place in my heart. And when I die and go to heaven, I would like to land in a field of Reese's peanut butter cups and Butterfingers.
Jennifer, what are yours?
That's not fair. Reese's peanut butter cups are my favorite.
Well, you guys are in good company because Reese's peanut butter cups are number 1.
Really?
Yay!
Yeah.
Really?
And I have a little thing here. H.B. Reese, a former shipping foreman for the Milton S. Hershey Company, was doing something right the day he invented the Reese's peanut butter cup, quit his job, and started his own candy company. The concoction is the perfect blend of chocolate and peanut butter. So, yep, that was it. So it was actually invented by H.B. Reese. Reese's peanut butter cups are number 1 on the list.
I love you. I love you.
Now, mine isn't.
He was working for Hershey's at the time.
Mine was not Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. Mine was something else that's also on the list. So you have any other guesses of the top 5?
Yours probably was weird. Like, you liked the candy corn or something.
No, I hated candy corn.
I love
I
candy
can't
corn.
Stand candy. I don't like candy corn.
Snickers.
Snickers is number 2 on the list.
Well, you said you had that the list asked children. And
yeah.
Children are not going to give any answer besides, like, the most unhealthy, ridiculously horrible, best, most delicious ones.
That's right.
So I would say Butterfinger. Is it Butterfinger on it?
No, it's not on there. But number 3 is my favorite, and that's M&M's. I like peanut. I like plain. I like peanut and plain, but... Well, you know what we do now is we buy those little packs, the little tiny packs of M&Ms. You know, you get like 6 or 7 of the peanut ones in a pack.
Uh-huh.
And that's how I limit my M&M consumption because I have to have an M&M every day. So now I can limit my consumption of M&Ms.
It doesn't actually work if you eat 17 of the packets, just so you know.
That's true. That is true. Now, there's a one on here that I don't like, and I'm actually kind of surprised that are on here, and that's number 4 on the list, and that's Pop Rocks. Are they really popular with kids nowadays?
I didn't know they were still making them.
I didn't either, but I do love me some Pop Rocks.
Do you?
Yeah. I like all fruity candy. The other thing would be like Starburst and Skittles. If you can take, okay, here's what you do. You take a Starburst. And you put 2 Skittles on top of it, and then you put another Starburst on top of that, and you squish them all together. It's like the greatest candy ever. It's a Skittle sandwich. Have you never had a Skittle sandwich?
I've never had a Skittle sandwich. I'm not big on Skittles either. I'm kind of a chocolate guy. The one thing I don't like, or I do like, really like, that's not chocolate is Twizzlers. I just love Twizzlers.
Yeah, those are good. Those are good. Candy.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, twisted up sugar. It's great. Number five is one that I'm surprised Jennifer didn't say because it's one of her favorites is Kit Kat.
Well, I was going to say that. I was. But peanut butter cups are better. Kit Kat's a close second.
Well, and I will say this, that Kit Kats are apparently the most shared because they're easily breakable, you know, into the strips. Mm-hmm. So they are apparently the most shared candy of all.
Give me a break. Give me a break. Break me off a piece of that Kit Kat. See, advertising does pay. That's why people share them.
Jamie, when I was competing, that was my song.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the Kit Kat was my song, yeah. That was my cross-country song.
You sang that over and over again?
Yeah, I sang it in dressage, too, and every once in a while I'd sing too loud and get points off.
Dan would be very proud.
I did. Wow. I got points off for singing in my slide test.
Well, so those are the top 5 candies that if you want to buy something. Now, the ones that I absolutely hated when we were making our rounds around Little Terry Hill in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, was the popcorn balls. God, I hated popcorn balls. And it seemed like there were, you know, you knew after a couple of years which houses the old ladies made the popcorn balls, and you'd avoid them. You just wouldn't go there anymore because you're just going to get popcorn balls.
Well, I must confess that I did something pretty terrible as far as being a I lived in a neighborhood when I lived in Atlanta, and I always worked on Halloween night, and I was a traffic reporter, and so we'd fly around, and the traffic was so horrible on Halloween night for some reason, so I'd always get home late, and I would always rush home, and granted, I don't prepare, and I would get home, and there'd be kids ringing my doorbell, and what do I have to give them? Nothing. So one year, I decided that the only thing I had was money.
They love you.
You know, some of them were really excited and some of them were kind of mad. Like the ones that just did not know the value of a dollar. So I just had this big change bucket and I was like, just reach in and grab, you know, whatever you can get. So they were reaching in and grabbing all this money. So the next year, I had actually prepared a little bit better and I had candy. And these kids come to my door and knock on the door, and I open. I'm like, "Happy Halloween!" They're like, "Trick or treat!" I'm like, "Here's your candy." And they're like, "Where's the money?" We wanted the money. I'm like, "You little, I cannot believe how much they remember."
That's funny.
It's totally true.
You probably had 10 times more the second year than the first year too, because they all told their friends that's where the money is.
And they were strangely adult.
That's funny. I'm trying to think of what other crappy ones we used to get. There actually were some houses that were kind of cool because back in those days, you know, you didn't have to worry about kids. We ran around town without any escorts all the time because it wasn't as dangerous. But, you know, they used to have, like, there were some that would serve hot cocoa. And you would actually come in and have to sit down and have, like, hot cocoa and cookies.
You're missing out on some good trick-or-treating time doing that.
I mean, that was the thing. You wanted to get in, drink your cocoa, and get out. So there were some strange ones when you lived in a little town in rural Pennsylvania.
Yeah, come on, sweetie. And then you have to tell. I hate it when they would answer the door and the people go, "What are you?"
I know.
Really?
It was plainly evident you were wearing the ghost costume, you know?
What did you go as when you were trick-or-treating? What costumes can you remember when you were a kid?
Maybe that's why I just don't remember much about Halloween. As I said, it was kind of my least favorite. I just don't remember much.
I don't remember what I did as a kid, but I do remember specifically I waited tables at a bar in Atlanta, and everybody wanted to work on Halloween because it was a very big night at the bar. And it was a bar restaurant. And so I dressed up one year as Britney Spears. It was when Britney Spears was popular. I, however, do not have the resources, I'm using finger quotes, that Britney Spears does. So
You bought the resources?
I did. I bought this plastic chest that you strap onto yourself. And, I mean, it's ridiculous. It is like Playboy. It is like Dolly Parton, huge boobs. Not that Britney Spears has that, but it was just part of my outfit, and it was kind of fun. And I went up to every table with a microphone, and I was like, hey, can I take your order? So that night, I proceeded to get by far the best tips that one waitress has ever gotten, and they are clearly plastic. You could knock on these suckers, and they would reverberate through the restaurant. I mean, nothing was real about these things at all, and I still had men staring at them and tipping me ridiculously. Oh, good. So, yeah, thanks very much for that, men are pigs. That's the only costume I remember because I made so much money that night.
Well, it just goes to show you that, you know, the question always comes up. That question always comes up. Do you make more if you're in doubt? And I guess the answer is yes.
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt. I want you guys and ladies to start paying attention to your waitress and how much your husband / significant other may tip them. And then you can punch them in the mouth.
See, that goes the other way. We were on our honeymoon, and we were in Newport, Rhode Island, you know, the fancy houses and all that in Newport. And we were on our honeymoon, and we went to this very nice, very fancy restaurant, and we had this nice, very nice young guy waiter. And as we were leaving, Jennifer insisted that I give him, it was like a 50% tip. She insisted because she thought he was so good looking. It had nothing to do with his service. It had everything to do with the fact that he was good looking. So that goes two ways, Jamie. It goes both ways.
Yeah, women are just as objectifying as men. Men just make idiots. We usually are a little quieter about it. We're a little more
that
subtle.
Is true.
You
that
guys
is true.
Are not subtle.
Hey, all right, let's do our commercial and then get to our guest. we have our sponsor today is Back on Track Products, and we had a chance to catch up with Bo here recently. So we have a little bit to talk about with the mesh sheets, and then we're coming back, and Jamie's fantasies are going to come true.
With poop!
We are sitting here with Bo from Back on Track Products, and thank you so much for sponsoring today's show.
Yeah.
But since we have you here, we wanted to talk a little bit about the mesh sheet. Why don't you tell us why it's important for right now, because the cooler weather's coming up, and tell everybody a little bit about it.
Our mesh sheet is one of the most bestseller we have, I should say. It's, it really makes a big difference on the horses, and it's not just for horses who have a problem. I used to call it the nightly massage. For the increased blood circulation, keep the muscle loose, and all the riders say pretty much the same thing. At the horses feel like they warmed up in 20 minutes before when they start warming up. So the warm up time is a lot shorter.
So do you wear the sheet overnight, or is it just you put it on for?
Overnight is the best result. The more you have it on, you better you result. Of course, in the summer it's too tough, but then they use it like 30 minutes before and 30 minutes after.
Now, what is so magical about it?
Well, we have a Weltex material, and what I do, they reflect your own body warmth back like a four infrared, some increased blood circulation. And, you know, that helps to reduce inflammation in muscle joints.
Solves lots of problems.
Yeah, and, you know, it's a product that lasts along the blanket. You can never wash it out. It's melted in the thread, so it's an affordable product too if you compare to a lot of other therapeutic blankets out there.
So if they lay down on it, they stain it, they get it muddy, you can throw it in the washing machine.
Yeah, yeah. But it's more like indoor. It's not outdoor. We always say
right.
Indoor. People put it under their turnout blanket, but we always say it's indoor product.
Okay. Okay. Well, that is the mesh sheet from Back on Track. It's backontrackproducts.com. Thank you very much, Bo.
Thank you.
And we've got our next guest on the line, our first guest of today's show, and we are going to talk to Pat. And Pat is going to talk to us about the Greystone America Pasture Vacuum. And, you know, I was curious about this because I want to know what to do with all our poop. And so Pat, I would like to say, first of all, good morning. Sell me this product.
Good morning, Jamie. I am really happy to have an opportunity to talk to you about this. It is one of the few products at the horse shows that we attend that gets the most smiles. People walk by and they look and point at the video and at the machine, and they stand back and finally will walk up and say, "Is that what I think it is?" So it's always fun to talk to people at shows, and then of course they're amazed that we're out there trying to replace their manure fork, and we tell them it is what you think it is, and it does a job better than I can even possibly tell you. And it came out of a need to spend less time cleaning your pastures and more time trying to ride. It's how my wife and I got involved in the beginning. We decided one day that we really wanted to live with our horses, and so we moved on to a 10-acre farm, and pretty soon we were not riding anymore. We were discovering how much manure the horses can produce and how much time it actually takes to clean up after them. So we were both kind of came together at one time and discovered the manure vacuum, and I saw it and said this is the perfect answer, and bought four of them, became a dealer, and we took a job that was taking us the entire weekend to do, cleaning two pastures that we had our horses in, and reduced that to about a 3-hour job, and started riding again.
Yeah, that definitely seems to be one of the most time-consuming things on our farm, and I'm sure our listeners' farms too, is that, you know, as horse people, we know that we don't get to play until the work is done. And when your work never gets done, then you never get to play. So how does the pasture vacuum work?
So we describe it like a large shop vac. It has many of the same characteristics. It is a wet or dry vacuum. It will pick up water and anything else that will go through the 5-inch tube, including rocks and lawn debris, leaves, all kinds of things. But it was intended primarily for picking up manure piles in the pasture. And so it has a motor that creates a vacuum, and so the tube has a tremendous amount of suction coming through it, and you just kind of stare at the manure pile, and it disappears.
That is very cool. Okay, so you suck up the poop into this machine. Say you start to notice, I don't know how you would tell, it's getting full. How do you know it gets full? And then how do you empty it? Is there a blower? Is there a poop blower?
Boy, wouldn't that be nice? to be honest with you, I got no sleep last night at all because pretty much it's one of the normal questions that we get. If you suck it up, can you also then blow it out? And I lay awake at night trying to think of ways that we can modify the machine so that we could do that. Unfortunately, like your vacuum at home and like your shop vac, you have to take the top off and empty it. In our case, the machine is articulated, and so you can leave it hooked up to your towing vehicle, which we recommend you use a lawn tractor or a ATV. The machine then tips right from that spot. The back door opens up the whole width of the machine, and then you tip it up on its back and dump the manure. Depending on the consistency of the manure and its condition, it dumps quite easily. What we have found, and O2 Composting is a company that we work with. They came to us because the way the manure comes through the machine and the velocity at which it enters the machine, it tends to break it down, and quite a bit of the manure winds up looking like it's already been composted. In other words, it's no longer in the golf ball shapes that you typically see it. It's more into built into a powdery consistency that permits you to actually put more manure in the machine when you're doing your job. And you can fill it to the top, so to speak, in other words, all the way full. And what happens as it fills up is that it begins to block off the level of suction, and you'll notice that it's not picking up manure as it had, and that's sort of the sign that it's getting full.
Okay, gotcha. So that you can kind of tell. And you can pick up, like, see, I live in Arizona where the poop is getting broken down almost immediately because the sun just bakes everything. But for our listeners that live, like, up in North Dakota and it's frozen, will it also pick up the frozen manure or where it rains a lot, the wet?
So one of the really nice things, and of course, what Nikki and I discovered the first time we were out there in the pasture trying to clean up, and the grass was a little bit long, we'd stick the manure fork into the pile of manure and start pulling, and of course the grass has a hold of the tines, and we'd pull and pull and pull,
worst thing when that happens. And you break the little tines off.
Yeah, you'd be ducking, basically.
Yep.
And so the manure vacuum will pick up manure in short grass, tall grass, wet grass, dry grass, off of a dirt surface or gravel surface, virtually any kind of area that you can get it into. The tip is angled slightly, which does a couple of things. One, it helps to break the suction if you get it, you know, stuck right to the ground. But it really provides a tip that you can kind of stand there and poke into the manure. So if the manure is dried and gotten hard, or as you described, frozen, as long as you can break it up into pieces that are smaller than 5 inches, it will pick it up. And so to answer your question, yes, you can pick up manure in just virtually any circumstance that you find yourself in.
Okay. my producer, Jennifer, just typed this up for me on our questions because this is appropriate at this point in my existence. Can I stick this sucker down a gopher hole and suck up gophers?
Okay, I was prepared for this. I was prepared for this because of a personal experience, actually. I have moles. I have 2.5 acres of lawn, and I have moles. And, you know, I sit up at night with my mole gun and a flashlight. I never can catch the little buggers. But when they produce that little pile of dirt there, if I run over it with a lawnmower, of course, it spreads the dirt out and it's all over. So I use my vacuum now when I cut the lawn. I use it because it works so well. I learned that by doing leaves. We had that 2.5 acres of leaves our first year here, and I figured out how to hook the vacuum to the outlet on the lawnmower and drove through and eliminated all of the leaves that afternoon. So I started looking at those gopher holes one day, and I went out with the vacuum and sucked up the dirt that they had pulled there, and which, of course, opened up the hole. Now, I have to admit, I've never gotten a mole or a gopher that has actually come through the machine, but I've talked to people who have, in fact, picked up small animals, generally by accident. At least that's what they say. And so far, nobody has told me that they've killed them, that they open the door and the thing rolls out the back and shakes itself off and probably doesn't do again what it was doing at the time.
That's what she means, Jamie.
Okay, I would like to ask you, Pat, have you ever been on a radio show that could talk about poop or heard a radio show that talks about poop and sucking up small animals? I love doing this show. It is just awesome because we can talk about this kind of stuff.
No, actually, this is the first for me, but I have have to admit that at a lot of shows I've talked about poop a lot, and, you know, it's becoming okay in America now, I guess. And so it's a pretty standard comment or conversation. And I've lost my ability to be embarrassed.
Well, now, I do have a question. Is it the engine itself, is it a gas engine? Is that how it works, like a leaf blower or a chainsaw or something?
Originally, Glenn, excuse me, originally when the machine was first put together, we actually used backpack blowers. And essentially, you would be running it backwards, if you will. We mounted it to the body of the machine so that instead of blowing, it was sucking. It still blew air out, of course, the exhaust side. But what we were interested in was its ability to create a vacuum. And those were a two-cycle motor. They're loud. You have to mix gas and oil together. And in all honesty, it was problematical to get people to consistently mix the gas and oil correctly. So several years ago, we went to Honda and discussed with them the idea of adapting one of their motors to our application. So we worked with a group of engineers and created a fan section and adapted it to the Honda motor. And we exclusively use Honda now, which is a four-cycle motor. In other words, you just put straight gas in it and change the oil occasionally as you would in your car. Honda, after experimenting with the application, has now extended their warranty to a three-year period on the motor, and any Honda dealer, any Honda small motor dealer in the country will service it. So it's really been a huge step up in the reliability of the machine, in the service of this equipment, and just basically how it works. At the same time, it reduced the noise level by about half. In the original machines, I used to have to wear put headgear on just because it was such a high-pitched sound. No longer do we do that, nor do we recommend it. And the machines are being used. I've demonstrated them frequently in horse facilities where there are riders and training going on, and they have not produced any adverse effect with any of the animals so far.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I was going to ask you if it freaks out the horses, but it's probably not any louder than the tractor or the ATV you're pulling it with. So.
No, correct, right.
So that wouldn't freak out the horses too bad then.
So just to paint a picture for everybody, we're going to post a video up on our Facebook page. And but basically, it's like a little pull behind. You can pull behind on your ATV, your Gator, your riding lawnmower. Everybody knows that if you have a farm, you have some sort of driving vehicle. And you pull it along, and it's got this little vacuum coming off your hand, this little tube, and you suck up the poop. So I got to ask, what kind of, I don't know what the word would be, but like gas mileage? Like, how does it do fuel-wise?
What's your poop mileage?
Yeah, right. How many piles per gallon? It's a difficult question to answer from this standpoint. You know, do you have 10 horses or 4 horses? Are you going to clean them up? Clean up weekly, daily? How often? So the volume of manure that's in the pasture, it will dictate how much manure goes into the machine. And what we found, there are two sizes. The small machine picks up what's equal to about 3 wheelbarrow loads, and the large machine picks up what's equal to about 6 wheelbarrow loads. So with this, my wife and I have 3 horses. We clean the pasture, I'd say, every couple of weeks. It takes us maybe, where we were spending a weekend doing that by hand, it takes us maybe 3 hours now to do that same job, and less time if the two of us work together. And with a small machine, we might fill it twice. In other words, we'll have to go dump it once in the middle of the job. With a large machine, we can pretty much handle most of the manure. And then if we're doing other cleanup jobs with it, because I use it, you know, when I cut the lawn, I use it when we trim trees, I use it when whenever we make a mess out there someplace, I'll use it. So it just comes down to that. But we have a regular place where we go and dump everything, and so it's not really much out of the way. I have two pastures, which I wouldn't call them show pastures, but I'm trying to keep the horses from ruining them. And so, and the grass is so rich that we don't like to turn them out there for too long a period of time. And so I clean that up every time that they're out there. And it takes me maybe 15, 20 minutes to just drive around those two pastures and pick up the piles of manure that are there. And of course, I just sit on, I run it with a lawn tractor, and I just sit on the tractor and reach over the side and pick up the piles of manure, and they're gone. And and you know, in that case, then I typically don't go empty it right away. I might wait until the next time I use it.
Wow. Okay, so this is going to save a lot of time. If people want to get it, what is the cost?
So the small machine, wheelbarrow full, which is a paddock vac, is it runs in the neighborhood of $3,400, and the maxi vac, which is the larger machine, is runs in the neighborhood of $4,400. And what we find is that once people get this machine, they will not turn it loose. And most people tell us that it has become their most important farm implement, and that they're using it every day and finding new applications that they can use it for. So we, for example, every 4 to 6 months, we'll strip our stalls totally. We go in and suck out all the old shavings and suck down the cobwebs and all the dust and dirt and buildup that's gone in each of the stalls and clean them completely. And then I can empty the machine at that point. When I clean it, I just take a pressure washer or a hose and wash it down. And I can go into the shavings bin, suck it full of shavings, and then take it back into the stalls and just dump it.
Oh, my gosh, that sounds so easy. So you don't have to worry. You don't have to worry about what you suck up in there. You're not going to suck something up besides your, like, your cat or a gopher and be like, oh, my God, I can't believe I did that.
Well, the concept, again, is just like a shop vac. So what's happened is that we have a large chamber in which we've created a vacuum. And so nothing goes through a fan or a motor or anything.
Okay,
it's just
cool.
Straight air moving through there, so whatever you pull in it doesn't get into the fan. And so picking up rocks, we've got an application where that's exactly what they're doing. Is they're emptying these concrete culverts because they have a filter, an oil filter or separator that they need to get to at the bottom of them to clean out. And they were trying to dig and hand grapple that rock out of that thing every time they needed to change this filter. We went in and it took us just a couple of minutes to suck all the rock out to get it down to the filter. Stock tanks out in the field, they get terrible after a while and you can't empty them. You can't kick them over. They're too heavy. We can suck all the water out of them with a vacuum or enough of it so you get it down to where you can either push it over but clean it so that you can clean your stock tanks. As I mentioned to you, I use it to do leaves every year. And my bagging attachment on the lawnmower would only work when the grass was perfectly dry. So I've tossed it now, and I use this every time I cut the lawn.
Wow. Okay, Pat, I'm hopefully going to be calling you a little bit later. So the paddock, $3,400, about three wheelbarrows. The maxi, $4,400, and that's about 6 to 8 wheelbarrowfuls, you said?
Yes, correct. I have one other bit of news that's going to make the picture even better. Right now, this is, as we know, our horses are a labor of love. You still need to get off and do some work, you know, and, of course, the work is always tedious, regardless of how easy you make it. We are now in production in an attachment for either the PaddockVac or MaxiVac. It'll fit on the front section of the vacuum, and you no longer will need to either get off or use the tube. You're going to be able to just drive over the manure and pick it up. And it, as I mentioned, is in production and will be on the market in the next 60 days. And we think that that's sort of going to be a game changer. We're right now, you know, people laugh at us. In the future, we're going to be their best friend.
I love it. I love it. So the next 60 days, is you say that's going to be for sale in the next 60 days?
Yes. We'll have it, right. Have and start promoting it. It will be called an auto collect. And the vacuum pickup tube will just plug into the back of this, and so you can drive around your ATV and drive over piles of manure. It collects the manure and then sucks it into the vacuum. The corners where you can't quite get to drive the machine through, then you can then remove the tube from the auto collect and just pick that up as you normally would. But it's going to make pasture maintenance and the health of your pasture so much better. The other thing that happens here, you know, when we pick up manure, we get it all because of a vacuum action, whereas with a fork, you leave some behind. And so we're eliminating all the parasites and all of the other bad parts of what the manure leaves in your pasture, where it can tend to kill the grass. And then and weeds return in that area, and now the health of the pasture and ultimately the health of your animals will improve.
Yeah, and then you've got those parts in your pasture that are really tall because there's, like, poop down at the bottom that you couldn't get with the fork, and that'll suck all that up. I love it. I think this is a great idea. Pat, what is your website? And we've already got the video posted up on our Facebook page.
You can go to graystoneamerica.com. And we have videos running on all of our products and information. And, you know, we love it when people call and just start asking those questions because, you know, for my wife and I, this was purely a thing of trying to solve the problems that we found on our farm. And I would liken it to the circumstance where you heard about the guy who says, I used one of their razors, I loved it so much, I bought the company. Well, it's virtually the same way for my wife and I. Everybody who looks at this says the same thing. Now, why didn't I think of that?
I think it was the HRS guy. So don't compare yourself to the bald guy who bought hair.
yeah, right.
I know what you mean. Pat, thank you very much. Definitely look at our Facebook page. We've got all your information. It's Graystone. I believe your website, you can go to graystone.com. Check it out. Definitely give you guys a call. Feel them out about it. And I'll be calling you, too. I really want one.
We have sales fairly often, so, you know, watch for those as well.
Oh, definitely. So we'll go to Graystone America and sign up and find out when the sales are. I love it. I love, never pay retail, honey. Never. You got to buy it on sale.
Yeah, that's the way. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Pat. Have a great day. Thanks for talking to us.
All right, that was fun. You know, I can see you driving around, sucking up poop, being all proud of yourself, trying to stick it down the gopher holes and suck up those gophers. You know what I was thinking? You know how yesterday when Glenn on our Facebook page said you could do liquid manure, and I said you should get the big muck tub and, you know, mix up your own batch of liquid manure. You could suck it up right out of the muck tub with this thing and then just go dump the thing in the holes.
Yeah, I like that idea. I like it.
Liquid manure.
I like more the idea of sticking the sucker down into the gopher holes and sucking up the little gophers.
All right, we got to get going here. FeedXL is our sponsor for this half hour, and they have something you're going to want to hear about, and it's today only till 9 o'clock Eastern tonight. Remember last week, Jamie, I talked about it being their three-year birthday. They've been around for 3 years now at FeedXL.com. Well, right now, today, everything is $20 off, which means that you can do your feed analysis and your nutrition analysis for up to three horses for right now for 1 month for nothing. when you take the $20 off of the monthly fee for the 1-3 horse race, it's $0. So right now, today, if you sign up, you're going to get 1 month free with FeedXL. So go to FeedXL.com, and just you're going to see their specials on there right now. And it, as I said, this is today only, so you're going to want to do it today. And this will end at 9 o'clock tonight. So we've talked about it every week. You know what it is. You know that you can get on there, and you can see if you're feeding your horses correctly or if there's any adjustments that need to be made. And if you've been putting it off, don't put it off any longer. Go to FeedXL.com today. All right, today I have a song for you that I thought would be fun. It's one of my favorites from Templeton Thompson. I know that, Jamie, it's one of yours too. We can agree on this one today, right?
Yes, I love it.
Okay, Sweet Baby James, which is a James Taylor song with a Templeton Thompson twist.
There's a young cowboy who lives on the range. His horse and his cattle are his only companion. He works in the saddle and he sleeps in the canyon, waiting for summer, his pastures to change. And as the moon rises, he sits by his fire, thinking about women and glasses of beer. He closes his eyes as the doggies retire. He sings out a song which is soft but it's clear, as if maybe someone could hear. Good night, you moonlight lady, rock goodbye, sweet baby Jane. Deep greens and blues are the colors I choose. Won't you let me go down in my dreams and rock goodbye, sweet baby Jane. Well, the 1st of December is covered with snow, and so was the turnpike from Stockbridge to Boston. All the Berkshires seemed dreamlike on account of that frosting. With 10 miles behind me, 10 million more to go. There's a song that they sing when they take to the highway, a song that they sing when they take to the sea, a song that they sing of their home in the sky. Maybe you can believe it if it helps you to sleep. Singing works just fine for me. So good night, you moonlight lady, rock goodbye, sweet baby Jane. Deep greens and blues are the colors I choose. Won't you let me go down in my dreams and rock goodbye, sweet baby Jane.
Well, that's Templeton Thompson with Sweet Baby James. You can find all of her music and buy it on iTunes. Just look up Templeton Thompson or at her website, templetonthompson.com. You're listening to Horses in the Morning, brought to you today by Back on Track Products at backontrackproducts.com. I am Glenn the Geek here with Jamie Jennings and my lovely wife, Coach Jen. And today's highlight shows for the Horse Radio Network just came out yesterday. Two of them, Driving Radio Show, episode number 16, Riding Your Driving Horse, and we spoke to, Wendy and I spoke to champion para driver and Grand Prix dressage rider Larry Pullen. He does both, and you might know that name, Jamie, because his uncle is a very famous dressage rider by the name of Michael Pullen. We did that, and they also answered a couple of listener questions we had about training and about carriages. So We've had some fun over at the Driving Radio Show. And the Western Radio Show, episode 77, is also out, called Staying Healthy. And they talk about the photonic red light therapy system. And also, they talk to a very inspiring lady. I was almost crying through this thing. Her name is Laura Kimball, and she's a seasoned barrel race competitor who was diagnosed with MS 20 years ago and was told she would never ride again, and she's still barrel racing to this day. So she beat the odds, and she talks about her incredible life, too. So that's over on the Western Radio Show. But right now, we have thehorse.com with us. We have Christy, and we have Dr. Jones, and I think that they're actually not going to totally gross me out, and I can have lunch today.
It's time for the weekly health report from thehorse.com. Fantastic information and Christy's attempt to ruin Glenn's lunch every week.
Good morning, Christy.
Good morning, Glenn.
Good morning, Dr.
Right.
Jones.
Good morning, Glenn.
Good to have you both on here. You know, I get up early on Wednesdays, and I come in here, and I take a look at the show notes, and every Wednesday I go, what are they going to do to me this week? And I was shocked and impressed that I wasn't going to be grossed out this week.
You know, we're not done yet.
Oh.
You need
young.
To be careful about saying that kind of stuff at the beginning of a show.
What's on leg wraps and boots? How could I be grossed out with leg wraps and boots?
Well, you'll just have to wait and see.
Okay, all right.
Well, thanks.
Good day here.
It is going to be a good day. So we have a fun show planned. We want to talk a little bit about leg protection because it's something that we get asked about a lot. And you know, leg protection how do you wrap a leg for first aid? Should you use wraps or boots in the trailer? What about when you're riding? What are the best boots to use for support or for protection? And there's always a number of questions. So those are the three primary reasons why we want to protect a horse's leg. And we do have a video, of course, on how to wrap a horse's leg. So we've just put up, and I'll put that link up there on the Facebook page so people can see some technique recommendations. But Aaron, talk to us a little bit about wrapping a leg for wound care.
The important part you have to remember most of all is that the wrap is supposed to be a protection, but it also helps keep the swelling down. And what I always tell people is the center of the wrap is where the wound is, because that's going to have the highest pressure to it. On the edges, the wrap isn't as tight or as snug as the center. So you want to try to make that wound coverage the center of your leg wrap you're going to do. And that would mean that those that wrap legs for a living, you know, they're grooms or barn help of some sort, and they wrap legs prior to the trainer going out to ride, they primarily wrap the cannon bone area with a polo wrap. And when you say wrap a leg and the wound's like on the lower end of that cannon, they'll do the normal cannon bone wrap as if they're going out to ride the horse, and that's not the point of it. The point is to cover that wound and make it the center of the wrap. So when you're doing this wound care, there are different layers to the wrap. It's not just simply slap on a gauze and put that wrap around it and cover it up, which I run into probably about 85 to 90% of the time, and I'm sure other veterinarians do too. It's kind of like they're putting a Band-Aid on themselves. They just put a little gauze on there, put some vet wrap on, and that's what they've been doing for the last 2 weeks, and there's still a lot of swelling in the leg. Well, that can be a huge problem. You can tourniquet the leg. You can, what they call, the layman's, you know, people would call it cord a tendon, where the vet wrap can wrap up into a nice little cord and wear on the tendons and ligaments on the lower limb and cause some problems with that tendon or ligament because it's right underneath the skin. So when you're doing a wound care wrap, you want to make sure you put some sort of gauze with your medication on that wound, and if you're instructed differently by your veterinarian, by all means, do what your veterinarian suggests. You place it on top of that wound, you put a padding of some sort, like a cotton quilt or cotton roll on top of that to protect the leg itself, and then you add your vet wrap or what they call standing wraps that have the Velcro. Not the polos, they're too thick on fleece, but the standing wraps are nice and thin, and you add that on top for a pressure aspect of the bandage in order to decrease the swelling in the area.
Very good. And that's an important point, not to put vet wrap directly on the skin, because that's, as you said, you run into that a lot, and we get a lot of comments from that from our veterinarians as well. What about tightening the wrap? We get questions about as well, that do you tighten the wrap all the way around? Do you pull against the back, the front of the leg?
Honestly, tightening across the front is the more common way to do it. There hasn't been any proof that you will pull a tendon out by tightening across the back. That's an old wives' tale. So those that have come up from the inside and pulled up to the back, it's really uncomfortable way to wrap that leg. So pulling across the front of the leg as you're wrapping is realistically a better way of wrapping. So it's more technique, and you get a better, firmer coverage on the firmness to the wrap to reduce the swelling than you try if you're trying to pull from the inside out. So I'm not sure if I explained that very well. I can demonstrate it much better than I can describe it. But, yes, pulling across the front gives you better torquing on making the wrap very tight. Now, granted, I don't think the strongest man of the world should be tightening your wrap, because that would probably be too tight. You'd probably just tell him to make it snug. So just look at your abilities. If you don't think you're making a tight wrap, and you'll know that because it falls down like a sock, then you probably need to have somebody else in the barn help you out and make a little tighter wrap, maybe somebody who's got a little upper arm strength more than you do.
But don't consider it a gym exercise. Got it.
Right. You're not lifting weights. So you just need to make it snug, because you don't want it to fall down, and you want it to do the added ability, and that's decrease the swelling in the area.
Sure. Now, what if you've got a wound? We mentioned wounds in the cannon area and further down in the fetlock area. What if you've got a wound in the on the knee or the hock or above?
Yeah, those are very, very difficult. And those are ones I guess I can't say. Those are the ones I'll almost always find a gauze and vet wrap wrapped on top of it, because they can't quite figure out how to wrap that area. And it usually does not stay on the wound area. It has fallen down. So that's the biggest problem, is it falls down. You can't use sticky Band-Aids to get it stick on there, because the horse moves. They'll chew it off, that kind of thing. So what we have to do is something called a stacking bandage. And what that is basically like you stack blocks as a kid. You're going to have to put a bandage below, and that bandage is not there to protect the wound or anything. It's there to hold up the other bandage. And I usually incorporate it into one vet wrap roll if I can, or one leg wrap if I can, and then I'll overlap. If I couldn't quite do it because it was up in the highest part of the forearm, let's say, and you're making the leg walk as one big stump or stick, and that's okay, is I'll start my second roll of vet wrap or my second standing wrap a little bit below the knee and start incorporating the knee so that it becomes one movement from the shoulder forward or the elbow forward on that leg, only because you know that wrap's going to stay in place. If you put one wrap on the bottom and then you put one wrap on the top over the wound, it still will probably slip. If you incorporate it as one solid bandage, it usually stays in place very nicely. And again, make it very, very snug. When you're wrapping your wraps around, your vet wraps and your standing wraps, you overlap by one half of the other one, and they're usually 4-inch wide wraps. Those are preferred in horses, not the 2-inch in dogs and cats, the 4-inch. So you want to overlap by at least a half as you're going up, and you kind of make it a barber pole or candy stripe, whatever you want to call it, going up the limb or down the limb, depending on how you're instructed to do the wrap.
Very good. Now, as far as wrapping the hock, there's a particular consideration with that as well, right?
Yeah, it's like doing the ankle in a human. Exactly like doing an ankle in a human. It's a figure eight. You want to keep the point of the hock open in the back. That tends to be an area, of course, they're going to flex the hock area, but that tends to be an area that will get rubbed sore a lot quicker. It almost happens in 24 or 48 hours. So you want to make sure that that area is opened up so they don't get hock sores over the back side of it. Now, granted, if the wound is on the back of the hock, please seek instruction from a veterinary technician or a veterinarian on how you're going to have to wrap that, and you'll probably have to incorporate that hock area into a bandage, but you're probably going to put some padding around it.
Right. And one other thing about wrapping a hock, especially, I think a lot of horses aren't used to having that area wrapped, and you want to be sure that you're staying pretty close to the horse so you don't get kicked while you're messing around with that hock.
Absolutely, right. And that goes with any wraps of any legs. I mean, there are some young babies we've had to wrap their front legs, and they've never even been touched, not even by a farrier. And that becomes difficult, and you may get a little hoof in the face, so you need to be very, very careful. Again, then one key that you need to keep in mind is horses stand on their diagonals. So they'll stand on their right front and their left hind comfortably, or their left front and their right hind. So if you're wrapping a hind limb, pick up the foot on the same side as that limb, and they should stand on it. There are some tricky ones out there who will balance on their whole right side and try to kick you with their left side, or their whole left side and try to kick you with the right side. But if you pull up the front leg of that same hind limb that you want down, They'll usually stand on the leg a lot better. Same thing on the front leg. You just pull up the opposite front leg, and they'll usually stand on it. Now, there have been a few that rear up, use your back, you know, things like that. But you need to incorporate somebody else's help on those tricky horses.
That's a good, great tip. And, Erin, you wanted to mention as well a couple of tips on wrapping a hoof if you need to do that.
Yeah, the hoof is it's always forgotten, I hate to say, when it comes to wrapping, because the leg always has the wounds and stuff. But we'll see almost as many hoof injury incidences as we do leg injuries, maybe a little less. But in general, the hoof is very confusing for people to wrap. And I'll find that when they evolve off part of the wall, like they got hooked in the fence, they pulled back and it hooked the wall and peeled the wall back of the foot, you still want to try to maintain that wall in a good position until you get a veterinarian out there or farrier or both to address the situation that just occurred. I tend to pick the foot up and I cradle the bottom of the foot with a large piece of cotton roll. And that's that roll cotton that you can find at the feed store or the veterinarians have. Or you can even use one of your quilts if you're out on a trail ride and all you have is quilts for your leg wraps. You can put your quilt on the bottom of the foot. You know, of course, clean it off so you don't get it too dirty. And you put the quilt on the bottom of the hoof and wrap the edges up around the sides of the hoof wall. Start your vet wrap around the edge of the hoof wall itself, going up and then down underneath to incorporate like a boot that looks almost like the hoof. And you can really get a nice, snug vet wrap on any kind of cotton roll or quilt. The no-bows, you can't. Those things are like putting a pillow on the bottom and trying to wrap it up to the foot. But the smaller cotton quilts, you could get them to conform to the hoof wall a lot better, and then you put your vet wrap around it. On top of that, it's highly recommended you put duct tape because the horse will tear through the cotton roll or your quilt and through the vet wrap, and then your bandage is not doing its job of protecting the wounds in that area. The other asset to that is if you have a horse that's not very good about soaking its foot for abscesses, you can make a great little boot out of duct tape and vet wrap and cotton quilt, which is darn cheap, to soak the foot all day, and you're not struggling with them knocking over a bucket or jumping backwards or whatever the reason is that they won't soak their foot. They can soak their foot all day long in Epsom salts and water by pouring it into the backside of the heel bulb area, and the whole cotton roll soaks up the Epsom salts and water and soaks the bottom of the foot for an abscess while the duct tape holds the water in.
Dr. Jones, do you or does thehorse.com have a video of any of these things of wrapping the hoof? I know that there's a lot of videos on wrapping the leg, but these are some interesting ways. I've never seen anybody soak a hoof like that, so I would love to see kind of how you made that.
We actually are in the process of putting up videos, and I know the horse did a good job of putting up theirs, but we're putting it up just on our website of how to wrap legs and how to wrap a hoof. We just haven't launched onto the website. It's just my inabilities of a technical person and finding a technical person to do it for me. But that is going to be put up on our website, and I'll send it on, put on your Facebook that it's up and the link to it type thing. But we want to YouTube it too, you know, make it a YouTube so that people can go to it. But that hoof wrap is much easier shown on a video than described. I don't know how many times I've had to try to describe it when the client wasn't home. We saw an abscess. You know, we put it on, but trying to describe how easy it was to put on, you know, it was very difficult to write out. Once I talked to them on the phone, they got it. And 2 or 3 days later, they were thankful because they could never get that foot into a bucket or, you know, wrap a bag around it because the bag made too much noise or it felt funny to the horse. The wraps are still funny to the horse, but it seems to be a bit more accepting than
right.
a bag or
right.
a bucket.
Very
gotcha.
Good. And we don't have a video of that yet, but it is on our list, and it's a great technique. And I do have this vision of Erin sitting on the other end of the phone trying to explain how it is to a client, you know, pantomiming wrapping the foot with her hands in front of her face.
Well, what I warn you, and this is the secret that I learned from veterinarians when I was young, and I took it with me in life, is as the best thing to do is you lay out your duct tape and you pull off about 12-inch strips and you overlap them by, I don't know, a couple millimeters so they connect to each other, laying sticky side up on a table or however you want to do it. And you put four of them in a row. And then you do another set with four in a row. Then you put them on your pants leg. I have to say pants leg because I had a client do this in shorts and put it on her actual leg. You stick the stitches side onto the pants leg of your pants, one on one leg, one on the other, and then you got four strips together. You pick up the horse's foot, you take off the old bandage, you clean it out, you put your cotton on, you wrap it with vet wrap, and then you take four of those stickies and you go from front to back. Four of those stickies going from inside to outside, so you make like a red cross on the bottom. You wrap the edges up, and then you continue to secure it in place with one or two more wraps of the duct tape. Do you know how fast you can get that done once you get practice on it? It's very quickly on a baby that's never had their feet up, on a kicking back leg of a horse, if you have somebody else, you know, helping you out. It's amazing how fast you can get that on once you get a process. And you don't even have to put the vet wrap on if you get very quick. You can just put the cotton on and put the duct tape right on.
Perfect. I think that's a great tip.
I had to mention the pants, though, because the client said, yeah, warning.
Yeah.
she didn't have to wax her legs.
No shaving for a week. Yeah. No, you got to work with what you got. If you're wearing shorts, then by God, you know, take one for the team. You get on there, let's go.
Didn't think of it that way. Yeah, yeah.
And then at that moment, your horse handler's trying to figure out who needs help more, if you or the horse.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Start yelling from peeling that duct tape off your leg. Well, it's about, let's see, we're starting to run a little bit short on time. Glenn, Jamie, would you rather finish the show up when we talk about leg protection when riding and in the trailers as a part two, or you want to keep going right now?
Yeah, let's do that. Yeah, let's do that. We're about out of time, so I could let's continue
that's
it next
what
week.
I'm really curious about too is the trailer bandaging, because my thoroughbred that I trailer about every week will not let me put leg wraps on his back legs. So I'm interested to see what your opinion and how much I should work with them or leave them alone. But we'll touch on that next week, I think.
Very good. So do you put any protection on his legs while trailering then?
He'll kill me.
Have you seen the trailer accidents I've seen? You'd find a way.
I was going to say, Aaron has an opinion.
Yeah, I can tell. Thank you, guys.
Aaron has an opinion. I'm shocked.
It's thehorse.com, and of course you can find Aaron at, is it, what is it
Florida
again?
Equine.
Florida Equine, spell out Florida, floridaequine.com.
And I went there this morning, and there's a website, and it looks good and everything, and you can see pictures of Dr. Jones on there, too.
I actually exist.
Yes, that's true. All right, that's Florida Equine and thehorse.com. Thank you, guys. We look forward to this every week.
All right, thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, there you go. So next week, part two of wrapping the horse and making sure Jamie's horse is safe for trailering. Hey, we got some great, terrific, thank you, everybody who was posting on our Facebook page today. There's been some terrific comments. You know, some of the fun ones, we had the candy theme going today, trick-or-treating and Halloween, and Jennifer asked, if your horse went trick-or-treating, what would he or she really want in his jack-o'-lantern candy bucket? And we had a variety of comments, including carrots and licorice and peppermint. Abby said, a train ticket to Easy Street. Abby, you working your horse too hard. butterscotch, peeps. Peeps, I remember peeps from before. Granny Smith apples, apparently they like them a bit sour. Justin's Clydesdale likes orange slices, and I thought she was meaning oranges, but she actually means the gummy, sugary ones, granola bars is unique. Hard candy, gummy bears, and then caramel apples. You know, I never thought about caramel apples before.
That poor horse has to work very, very hard to finish that caramel apple.
He'd be looking like Mr. Ed. And then you got a lot of answers about the jealousy thing, too. Did you see all of those?
Oh, I did. Cool. Does anybody else have a jealous horse? Did you read through them yet?
Yeah, there's a ton. I mean, there's a ton of people who apparently have horses that are jealous.
I did love the Lynn that posted that the human should always be the top of the pecking order. Yes, thank you, Lynn. I am the top of the pecking order. This does not happen when I'm around.
Right, exactly.
It happens when the horse is
are out in the field or they're next to each other in the stall. But I do, yeah, it does seem like some other people have it. Most people, I think a lot of people said that, no, they haven't had the jealousy. They just, the horses, like you said, just didn't like each other.
Yeah, and, you know, Teresa posted in there about dogs, and I do know dogs get jealous. They definitely do. But, you know, if dogs do, then why wouldn't horses, if you think about that, you know?
Yeah, you go to pet one of my dogs, the other three come running up like, where's my pets? Don't you love me more? Hey, a funny story about Boomer. So I told you that we had finally found peace on Earth with the shock slash vibrate slash beeping collar. And it got to the point where anytime he ever did anything wrong, I would just make the collar beep, and he would stop and run back to me. It was so great. It was so nice. No chasing horses. He's a herding dog. No chasing horses. No barking at anything in the middle of the night. Just peaceful. Well, you know, you've got the collar, and you got that little thing that you hit, the little button zapper thing.
Yeah.
The son of a gun ate the freaking button zapper. He took it off the patio table because I leave it in easy area to get. Took it off the dang patio table and destroyed it. Destroyed it. It's in pieces. I'm going to have to post a picture of the zapper because you are not going to believe what this dog did to this thing. I'm so pissed.
That's just
ate it.
Fun.
Ate it.
Only you, Jamie. Only you.
I'll show you. Get that stupid button and then get between my stupid collars.
Maybe that's it. We need to put shock collars on the gopher.
Mm-hmm. Now you're being ridiculous because, my God, I can't take it anymore. Like a poor Chad last night, he's like, Chad's like, I think I'm getting burned out. And I'm like, no kidding. Me too.
Well, before we go, there's one little 15-year-old girl in England who had a worse day than you. Ella Glover, she was riding along, and apparently she was out on the trail ride, and her horse stepped over this rustling plastic bag, and apparently underneath it was a hornet's nest.
Oh,
well, yeah, you know what it is. The horse was inundated by mad, angry hornets and surrounded the and started stinging the horse, whose name was Kai. The horse jumped up, and Ella was hit in the face, unable to calm him down, and had to get off. Basically, she jumped off. The attack went on for 10 minutes with Ella desperately trying to get them off. And then these people were coming up, driving up, and out their windows were yelling at her to control her horse.
Oh,
real bright, right?
God.
I know.
Are
you
serious?
Yes. She had people stopping and yelling at her that she needs to get her horse under control. Well, apparently, until this man in a white van pulled over to help, and this guy got out, and the man pulled over. He was wearing thick gloves, apparently, and he just began pulling them off in clumps and crushing them in his hands until they were gone. That's a brave guy. If it wasn't for him, she said her horse could have died. Because, you know, a lot of bee stings will kill a human or a horse, for that matter.
Oh, yeah.
He ended up taking the horse to the vet, and apparently poor Kai was covered in bee stings on his tummy, back, and saddle area. And the vet said that he was one lucky horse. He ended up being okay and living, but he could have died. So,
well, in the end of the story, the guy who stopped and helped her and killed all the bees got in his car and drove off. And so she's actually looking for the kind stranger. They don't even know who he is.
I mean, it takes guts to do that, you know, to get off and do that. And obviously he probably had experience with bees and he had big thick gloves on. But, you know, what do you do if you're the one standing there? You're the poor 15-year-old whose horse is getting tortured by, you know, dozens of bees at the same time. And you're trying not to get stung at the same time. I mean, it's bad. That's a bad
thing. Here's what you do. You freaking run. I mean,
yeah.
Dear God, run!
I know. It's tough. And I know you've had similar experience. We've talked about this before, horses getting zapped by bees.
Yeah, that was fun.
That was fun. They were tied to the fence and eating their grain. And then they start freaking out, and I have to untie them all. And then I got stung. I had to drive myself to the hospital. So, yeah, I totally understand, sister. It sucks. And there's just nothing you can do. But what I did once I got the horses untied was I ran, like, as fast as I could.
Let
and
them deal with it,
sister. Like, everybody run! They
well, and I
to
got
me.
The impression from this article that she was on a road. So that's what even made it worse, you know? It
yeah.
was,
oh, that's
yeah.
terrible.
Anyway, that's it for today. We'll be back again tomorrow with another fun. What a fun show today was. I love Wednesdays. Wednesdays just seem, you know, the over hump day, and it just seems we always have fun stuff on Wednesdays.
Absolutely, and I'm going to go get online and buy another zapper so I can shock Boomer again.
Hey, can you should buy that asphyxiator at the same time that we talked about yesterday. Get online.
I know. I've got some online shopping to do. The pasture vacuum, I've decided just to suck up the gophers and quit worrying about it. And a zapper for my dog. Thank you.
All right, everybody.
Have a great day.
Day.
And don't forget, please make your appointments now. Spay, neuter, and geld.
And we'll see you at dealers, everybody.